something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
It's our Bare Naked Ladies Spectacular. We get to preview their brand new track, Canada Dry.
We have a new game called Celebrity Lifeboat.
Plus, Gord and Phil lay down a cover of Dream is Gonna Go. That's all coming up right now on TNT. I hope the smoking man's in this one. Let's sing them 10 trick.
What a song.
Welcome to our Bare Naked Ladies Spectacular, Bots.
Yay! That song was so big.
That song was so big. And I know I've said it before on this podcast, but so the legend goes, Ed and Steven were in a limo on the way to a signing at a record store, and there was a traffic jam, and the DJ comes on the radio and says there's a traffic jam because the Bare Naked Ladies are going to a record signing for their album. And what an exciting moment in a band's rise.
No kidding.
And do you remember the first time you saw them, Mavs?
Yeah. I think, I'm trying to remember. I think I saw them early and then played with them really early. Like Nathan Phillips Square, we did a show with them there.
Like, were you coming up at the same time, or they were kind of a couple years
ahead
of you?
They were a little bit before. They were like a couple years. Like, they were probably kicking 91, 92, 93. And, you know, that's when I started, was 93. So, a couple years previous.
So, here's what we're going to do, Buds. This is our Bare Naked Ladies Spectacular, because Ed, as you might recall, sent us a message a couple of weeks ago and said, we have this track that's about Canada.
Yep.
And might be a crazy idea, and feel free to say no. But what if it premiered on your podcast, because you guys are about Canadianity, and give the buds a chance to hear it before everyone else does. So that's why we're doing a sneaky drop this week.
A sneaky drop.
And we're going to play the song, which is called Canada Dry, and it does have, like, it's swinging bells for Canadianity, all the references, and some special guest cameos. So we're going to play that later in the show. We're also going to play a game called Chickity China.
Yes.
Where we get some of the characters from the Taggart and Torrens universe to try to do the Chickity China rap from 1 week. They were notorious because they sold, how many cassettes was it? Like at shows and off the back of a truck.
100,000 for $6 pop.
And that was like homemade, right?
Yeah, out of the back of the truck. And then all of a sudden, I think it was Sam's and A&A Records. It was like they couldn't keep them in stock. People just getting them. And then it was the hats, the Bare Naked hats were everywhere. Remember that shit?
Yeah, and remember the...
that was classic. Everybody had one.
Even the ball on the cover of Gordon was like, oh man, perfect. Like they just entered the pop culture zeitgeist. And here's the thing. I always liked the music, and those guys are heavy, heavy players, you can tell.
Yeah.
I met Ed briefly at a bar in Halifax, like when they... were just getting huge, and he was a really nice dude. He wouldn't remember the encounter. But I saw them then a few years later after they were quite big at Acadia University in the Annapolis Valley, Nova Scotia. I knew they would be tight. I knew they would be great. I grossly underestimated how funny they would be in terms of banter.
Yeah.
And also, Ed spit a freestyle that was lit AF, as Gordon Lightfoot would say, and just blew the roof off the place. And, you know, sometimes you get the sense that you're seeing kind of contrived spontaneity. This was spontaneous spontaneity, and he's a good MC, man.
Yeah, they're great performers. So that was their thing also, and why they're so fun live is because you know you're going to have a good time.
It's funny. It's almost like the knock that Wes Anderson gets. I know I've cited that before, but... you know, the second or third Wes Anderson movie, he gets accused of being Wes Anderson. Bare Naked have delivered at a pretty high, pretty steady level, musically sound, enjoyable pop music for, I guess, is it 20 years now?
More than that.
Holy cow.
I mean, it'll be 30 probably soon.
Yeah. And we both know how hard it is to have that kind of staying power. So... couldn't be happier. It was nice of Ed to think of us, and really happy to be able to share that track with the Bods later in the show. But first, we thought we'd play a new game which might be the dumbest thing we've ever thought of.
But it's great.
But it's great. It's called Celebrity Lifeboat.
Yeah.
So we'll give each other two names of celebrities. The first name has to be the same. And you have to decide with only one spot left in a lifeboat which celebrity you would save.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, on the surface, it's pretty funny, but I'm hoping that we'll actually drill down and really talk out your logic for why you would save the person you choose.
Yeah, for sure.
Who's going first?
Are we're posing the question to the other? Or are we
ask me two people, and I have to pick who I'd save.
And then we'll break it down from there.
And then maybe the other person gets to weigh in on if they agree with that choice or why they would make a different one.
Perfect.
Okay, who's going first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Okay. Celebrity lifeboat, standing out the catwalk to the boat, right?
Yep.
You're coming or going, and
sorry, there's only room for one more.
Only room for one more, and you can only have one name of the person. So you have right in front of you Frank Stallone and Frank D'Angelo. Frank Stallone.
There's a Sophie's Choice.
And literally, when you say no, like they fall in the water and that's it.
Well, no kidding. And also, in this particular case, they could probably beat your head in.
Well, yeah.
I didn't see that coming.
We don't worry about the fighting part. Just realize they're going in.
Is D'Angelo Canadian?
Yeah,
man. Yeah, I have to go D'Angelo then.
You want saving him?
Yeah.
Still no Frank Stallone?
Sploosh. Well, when you put it like that, like I said, it's a tough decision, but this is the game.
You got to deal with Frank D'Angelo. He's going to start trying to make a movie in the boat.
I think parameters are going to have to start to emerge where, like, Canadian first, if you know him or know Bud that knows him, that's probably precedent. So I'm going to go D'Angelo.
So he's, like, talking in the boat, and all of a sudden you hear, like, canned laughter after he tells a cheap joke. It's like,
well, like Frank, you can get on the Zodiac, but you can't talk is the only thing.
He brings his own laugh track, like, in his pocket.
Okay, I'm going to start... This is intense. I'm going right in.
He'll listen to this too. He's that guy. Like, he'll find you on the internet and say, he's a good guy. What are you talking about?
Well, are you saying your choice would be different?
Oh, yeah. Frank D'Angelo would be splooshed.
Really?
Because all Frank Stallone does is, like, hang out and get stoned.
Okay. Yeah. There it is. It's on record.
Did I tell
now.
You I smoked a joint with Frank Stallone once?
You did?
Yeah.
Where?
This guy I bought weed from his house.
Way to bury the lead.
Not classic.
What do you mean? He was there?
Like, it was one of those dealer guys that, like, wanted to be friends always, so he hung out a lot. You'd end up staying and just buying some weed, but you're there for an hour after.
Because it's about the hang? So yeah, why would you want to stay for an hour? Because you get a better price, or because you're there and you might as well stay?
Because he had great weed, so you got to deal with the hangout part. But then, anyway, the one time I was in there, all of a sudden Frank Stallone comes in.
Was it in Toronto?
No, this was in Venice, in California, in L.A.
So what's Frank Stallone saying?
Probably when you live there, actually. It was right around that time. Anyway, Frank Stallone just came in and he starts hanging out and, like, just talking. You know, he's very chill. And he looks a lot like Sylvester Stallone, too. And they're, like, best buds, right? So it's always, you know, I guess he's just kind of...
Are they? So it's not like an Eric Roberts and Julia Roberts scenario?
Where they don't like each other? Yeah. No. He has a band, too, so he does, like, wedding gigs and stuff. Corporate Imagine. Stuff. And he does that, you know, he does that, take it back, do-do-do-do-do, with the band.
Like, do that's you his remember jam. Those jams?
Yeah, the guys over the fire in Rocky. Unreal. Okay,
It's all unreal.
What's the next one?
This is mine. I'm going all in. Jay-Z or Jay Onright? Got to pick, bud.
Well, Jay, I'd pick Onright.
See, it's a no-brainer, really.
Yeah, easily.
But then what you're saying is...
There goes the
You don't
the
care
rap
about Jay-Z
no
and
music.
His contribution to culture?
Yeah. Well, you're saying, and you got to think about entertainment on the boat. All of a sudden, it's like you forego the jams for Jay Onwright's classic tales.
Bodism.
Yeah.
So you're saying you could look Jay-Z in the eye and say, sorry, bud.
See you, bud.
See you, bud.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's another one coming.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Can you hear Rebel running around here in the room?
No.
Yeah. Rebel, what are you doing? He's running around the room going crazy. Hey.
Rebel says, I'm just running around, Daddy, he says.
Hey, Rebel, come here. Rebel. He's got a new trick.
Hey, ask him who's a good boy.
Hey, Rebel, you want to do a trick? Trick, Rebel? Rebel, come here. Trick. Where is he?
He's right here, but you need
to... Yeah, Lisa's in the bathroom, so he's staying there, so he's not going to come out.
Dude, dogs love ladies.
Well, he's like a... He might as well have an invisible leash, but like right by Lisa's foot.
I know, same. There. Henry will just... sit and stare into Carol's eyes. Like, get your own, bud.
I know, for sure.
Quit trying to mow my grass, bud.
Yeah. Okay, so are you ready for the next one?
Yeah, hit me.
Okay, this one's pretty good. Sean Lennon or Sean Cullen? Woo.
Sean Cullen.
Yeah, see? That's kind of easy, actually.
Because
Sean Cullen can sing and do music better than Sean Lennon anyway.
Julian Lennon? I mean, Valot is a jam.
That's a good record, actually. It's not bad.
Sitting on the doorstep of the house can't afford. It's
that
a great
was a big,
jam with a surprising chord progression.
Yeah.
Okay, Jim Carrey or Jim Cuddy?
Oh, wow. That's a good one.
I know.
I'm going to say Jim Cuddy.
I would too.
He's a bod.
He's a bod.
Yeah.
Did you
Jim Carrey's crazy now. I don't know what the hell that guy's up to.
Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
So you saw the interview at New York Fashion Week.
Well, not just that, but just that thing where he's doing the art now in his house. And he's just like up all the night. Looks like I don't know if I would say looks like maybe some scoops are going on there or something maybe.
First of all, props to the reporter who I thought handled that weird situation really well.
He all of a sudden turned into that annoying guy at the bar, like, oh, nothing matters, nothing's nothing. Anyway.
Yeah, but you did show up, and I think that was her point, and she did pose that question, which I really admired,
because
it would be easy to go, oh, Jim, you're crazy.
She,
at a certain point, was like, well, you did put on a nice jacket and come down here.
Yeah,
so there
exactly.
must be some part of you, A, that exists,
and
B, that wanted to be here.
Yeah.
So blow it off if you want. But she was just trying to do her job. And
exactly.
It's funny that people fall into two camps. Some people think he's woke AF, and some people think he was being a dick.
Yeah.
And
well, even if you
think
that,
scoops.
To be posing it in such a kind of opinionated and you know, harsh way, then yeah, you are being a dick.
Yeah.
Like, you could say those things in a nice way instead of, like, blocking everything because you're too cool to talk about fashion.
Yeah.
So
I think if you're really
salad,
too cool, you don't go, is
that
thing.
Got him the old sploosh.
What does that mean?
Off the Celebrity Lifeboat.
Oh, yeah, the sploosh.
Yeah, the sploosh.
He got splooshed. All right, hit me.
Pat Sajak or Pat Borders, the former Jays catcher.
Got to go Sajak. Although, he's in real life, he's a weird cat, and some of the things that he chooses to post are very suspect.
What? You follow him on Twitter? Is that what's he like?
I actually think I unfollowed him because there's some
what
like...
What is he like? MAGA. Is he one of those guys?
Yeah, one of those, and like maybe like vaguely racist.
Yeah, right.
Like just kind of, oh Pat, you don't have to say that stuff, bud.
oh, man.
But he also, by all accounts, is one of the funniest guys in town. Who
really?
Had a crack at being a late night host, and it didn't go very well.
No.
So he had to, with his tail between his legs, go back to do Wheel of Fortune till the end of time.
But I mean, he was a successful radio show guy, right?
Yeah.
So I mean. He was a host there for years.
Like, hosting Wheel of Fortune, or Jeopardy for that matter, is like, it's kind of one-hit wonder. It is both awesome and it would suck.
Yeah.
Because till the end of time, you have to find new ways to say E. letter E.
Yeah, it's like the mailman. It's like easy, good gig, great benefits, but then that fucking mail doesn't stop.
Yeah. Every day with the mail.
Every day
with the mail. Same with Vanna, by the way. Every I'm going to suggest with the mail. Letter flipping is harder than it looks.
Oh, man.
Vanna's really good at her job. You know it's a bad day
when you see a postman like with his head in his hands going, the mail just doesn't stop.
I know, but those guys get serious repetitive strain injuries. Imagine you carry your bag on your right shoulder for 25 years.
Like camera guys.
And they have to tangle with dogs and stuff. Yeah. It's like camera guys. One eye goes soft.
Yeah, like remember all the videographer guys from Much I Knew all had bad shoulders, pain shoulders.
And one squinty eye.
Yeah.
whose turn?
I think it's your turn. I did Sajak.
You picked Sajak? I picked Sajak.
All right.
David Bowie or David Spade?
Oh, Bowie, for sure.
Yeah.
Even though he's dead.
For two reasons. One, he's cool, AF, and two, Spade would probably be annoying in the boat.
No kidding. Like, I wouldn't even, if there was, like, only David Spade, I think I'd throw him in the water.
Although he's just a little guy, so we wouldn't take up much real estate.
I know. We don't have a David. I'll come in now. No.
No, not so fast.
Not you, nope. Okay, you ready for this one?
Yeah. You'd be waiting for David Coulier to show up.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Spade.
John Lithgow or John Cougar Mellencamp? Ooh.
Is John Cougar Mellencamp dating Meg Ryan, and is she already on the boat?
Yeah, no, it's just him.
Huh. Does he have a guitar?
Sure.
I'd probably take John Cougar.
You would, though?
Yeah.
You know he's like a tyrant, right? Noted.
Is he?
Yeah, he's one of those like don't look at him when you're on the crew.
No way.
Yeah, don't start a conversation. Don't say hello.
Come on.
One of those guys. Yeah.
Well, I feel so bad for Lithgow, though. I couldn't watch Third Rock from the Sun.
He's like starts snapping in the boat, telling people to do stuff. Come on, get out of here. Come over right there.
So he's that guy. That's disappointing.
Well, I don't know how bad it is, but apparently he was a little harsh.
Huh.
I would take Lithgow because he's just such a classic actor and I'm sure he'd have some good jokes too.
Okay, Steve Nash or Steve Perry?
That's a good one.
I know. Canadian basketball bod?
Yeah, he is a bod, actually. I've met Steve Nash a couple times. He is a sweetheart.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a good dude.
You met him at the Salt Lake Olympics, right?
I did, yes.
Yeah.
And then Steve Perry can sure sing.
Yeah, he sure can.
Got that hair. He doesn't have the hairdo anymore, right?
Doesn't he?
I don't think so.
He chopped the mullet?
Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm going to have to go with Steve Nash there.
Yeah, I thought that's where you were headed. I'd do the same.
For sure.
Hit me.
This is a good one. This is tough.
Okay.
Gino Vannelli or Gino Retta?
Ooh. Oh, my God.
Yeah. How about that?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That's like two institutions right there. One music and one sports.
Both Canadian.
Yeah.
Both bods in their own way.
Yes. Well, holy I've never met cow. Gino Vannelli, but I know Gino Retta is a bod. Big time.
Man alive. I don't know if I can choose.
I know. It's tough, right?
You know what? I'd probably stay on the sinking ship and let both of them get on.
Two Ginos? You just allow two Ginos all of a sudden?
Yeah.
But you can't. Because then if it's you that has to go. If it's one of them, both of them.
Okay, then the only thing I could use to determine a clear outcome is I would let Vannelli go. Just because we've had so much fun with Joe and Gino on the pod. But that's the hardest one yet. A bit.
So you're like, well, I can't do it.
That's the hardest one yet.
That is a hard one. I don't have a pick either. I mean, it's just tough.
Well, I had to pick, so you got to pick.
I know. I think I would have to pick Gino Retta only because I've met him and he's nice.
Yeah.
So it's hard to
do that. Well, let's see. We each saved one.
Yeah,
so maybe we have two lifeboats. Jennifer Lawrence or Jennifer Aniston?
I never was watched Friends, really.
Yep.
And the other one's a Hunger Games girl.
So you're going full Lawrence?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, it's at the boat and it's
Jennifer Love Hewitt just showed up. Three Jennifers.
Aniston is quite the mogul, right? She's loaded.
Yep.
She's got good stories. She'll give the sploosh to the kid.
What, you're going to take Jennifer Lawrence?
No, I'm gonna
Henry, pipe down, Bob.
I'm going to sploosh the Lawrence.
There you have it. Yep. Celebrity Lifeboat. Let's take a break on TNT. It's our BNL Spectacular. We'll be right back with Chickadee China.
Let me ask you this right quick, you know what I mean? Dum, 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 honey, what have you done? Dum, dum, it's the sound of my gun. Dum, dum, honey, what have you done? Dum, dum, it's the sound of my gun. Hi, 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 hi. Doom, ba, like the doom. Janie's got a gun. Ba, shoom, da. Janie's got a gun. Ba-doom, ga-dang, dang, dang. The whole world's coming down. Chuka-ba, see-dang. Looking straight at the sun. Da-da-ba, da-ba-dang. Wanting hard, da-dee-da. Ba, shuka-ba. What did he put you through? Ba-da, torpe-ga. You see, Janie was the wizard of the island of the train. Ba, da-ko-do-ga. But man, he had it coming out that Janie's got a gun. She ain't ever gonna be the same. Hey, Janie's got a gun. Janie's got a gun. Donkey's just begun. Everybody's on the run.
Guys, it's good, yeah? Let's try it again. Donovan is producing a cover of Janie's Got a Gun with Gordon Lightfoot, Stephen Page, and Phil.
He's like, I woke up with this Bobby McFerrin meets, you know, rock and roll, right?
Everyone that picks up the phone, Gord, Page, and Phil, he starts with, hear me out.
Yeah.
Because he knows it's mad. Yeah. Hear me out, because I know it's mad. As I told you, I was reading this Andy Summers book, and Andy Summers refers to cocaine as GAK, G-A-K.
Yeah, there you go. So
he's on the GAK, so maybe Donovan's Gordon GAK's like, on the GAK.
Donovan's came to from a slumber after some GAK.
Oh.
And he had a dream of this idea. And he's like, the same dream that I've had with like three other things that were huge, right?
Yeah. It's exactly the same dream I had for Africa by Toto.
It's like called Bobby Geldof.
It's the exact same dream I had before Next Time I Fall with Peter Cetera. It's the exact same dream. It's a recurring dream, yeah? I wake up in a bathtub full of GAK. And like a Dyson with its filters hopelessly clogged, I have to snort my way out of the bathtub. But every single time, it's the same dream I had with Blame It on the Rain.
It's the same dream
I had with We Don't Have to Take Our Clothes Off. It's the same dream I had with the Portland Brothers, Soul City.
The Portland Brothers.
It's like... They don't even count his name
He's
drops.
He's on vacation in Canada. Fucking soul sick.
It's the exact same dream I had before Mona with the children. It's the exact same dream.
As Echo Beach.
It's the exact same dream I had before All I Want to Do. All I Want to Do.
He's covering every genre.
It's the exact same dream I had before The Wind Beneath My Wings. Do you know the end? Thank you, thank you, thank God for you. That was in the dream.
Oh, night moves.
Working on your night moves. Night moves.
Yeah, because Bob Seger was making out with some girl late in the recording.
On the GAC. Seeger like, was on the GAC. You know who else was on the GAC? Cyndi Lauper. GAC. Tears for Fears. GAC.
Yes.
Bronski Beat had to get out of the game for the GAC. People are asking Donovan, whatever happened to so-and-so? GAC.
Right said Fred.
GAC. Too sexy, more like too gacky.
Whatever happened to Roxette, Donovan?
GAC. Tasty like a raindrop. Come on. What's a raindrop taste like? We fought about that lyric for 2 days. Gord doing Janie's Got a Gun is really fun.
Oh, man.
Gord and Phil.
I've been having this reoccurring laugh over Gord singing that song. And I'm...
Janie's gonna... Especially like, guys, I want to go darker on my next record. It worked for Johnny Cash. I want to try it for myself.
The lyrics, like, what did her daddy do?
Oh. Especially when he comes aboard, and his favorite part of it is, but many honey coming out, and Johnny's gonna she and I go daddy down. Say, hey, hey, hey. So, Tags, I was in, back in Nunavut, one of my favorite stomping grounds.
Yeah, for vacay.
Yeah, it was for a vacation. My father-in-law had never been up north, and we wanted to take a few days to travel up there. So we went to Iqaluit the first night, wow. Met a bunch of buds. Mm-hmm. And then we went up to Pangnirtung, which of all the communities that I've been to over the years is the one that sticks out in my mind as being the prettiest. It's shrouded by mountains on both sides, and they call it the Pangnirtung Pass when you land in there because it looks like the wingtips are going to touch the mountains on the way by.
Wow.
And it's in this little bay. And depending on the time of year, the bay is full of belugas or narwhals or seals, arctic char. There's all kinds of wildlife. And the people that are from there and live there take such a pride in their community and their tradition, which is really cool. They're very indulgent of all the questions that you might ask. But because of the hotel we were staying in this time, there were all kinds of buds staying there that were doing different jobs. And it was struck me like how many different ways there are to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
Like one guy was from Winnipeg. He's an elk farmer who installs refrigeration units. So at co-op stores at communities all through the north, he goes to this new store being built and installs all the refrigeration.
Wow.
So as you can imagine, in a community like this that is only accessible by boat or plane, or in the wintertime, I guess you could get up there on a skidoo from Iqaluit, but it'd be quite a rip.
Jeez.
They have to wait till the barge comes with all their stuff. So last year, he was working in a small community waiting for the barge to get there with his refrigeration stuff. And we actually watched a boat come in. The boat comes in. It has barges on board. So it lets the barges out. It has tugboats on the deck, so they lower those with a crane into the water. And then they put the containers on the barge, and the tugboat pushes the barge into the shore down this kind of shallow channel.
Wow.
And then the loaders unload the crates. Like we saw a half-ton Chev being unloaded and a bunch of stuff. So last year, this guy was waiting for his refrigeration stuff. Last boat of the year, it's in a wooden crate on top of a big shipping crate.
No.
Yeah. Psh!
No.
Knocked off the top, shattered. All right. I guess we'll get one on the next boat in 8 months.
So that's my whole year.
So this guy was sitting at the hotel waiting for this boat to get there. It was day 4, and he's looking at his little app like, yeah, it should be here today or might be tomorrow. Because all he was going to do at this point was unload the refrigeration gear, make sure it was cool, and then come back in the spring to install it.
Oh.
There were a couple of guys doing furnace work for the RCMP shop. They're from Newfoundland and flew up there to do this work. They're based in Iqaluit. They'll be there till Christmas. There were a couple guys from Ontario in the Coast Guard that were there to check the lights on the wharf. That's just so wild. There were lots of medical professionals there. I met a woman named Brenda who was going around all the communities to the hospitals to see what upgraded machinery they might need.
Nice.
It's just this eclectic salad of wanderers and adventurers who make their living this way.
And then there's the locals that actually haven't changed the way they live for, I'm going to guess, a couple hundred years, right?
Well, this was the wild thing. Because of social media, there was a guy named Daniel who sent me a tweet saying, hey, I have a yellow Jeep. You might have seen me around town. Let me know if you want a tour. So I wrote him back and I was like, man, I would love that. That's so kind. So he picked us up at the hotel and took us for a rip around town. Mm-hmm. Really cool guy. He works in the fisheries department of the government. He's hiring commercial fishermen to fish turbot and shrimp. And he said he got his degree in biology at University in Ottawa. And I said, what was the biggest culture shock about going down there? And he said, man, everything is done by time.
Yeah.
And we're not used to that. We want to go fishing? Cool, let's go fishing. Or you want to go hunting caribou? Great, let's do it. But this, like, class Tuesday morning at 9, he's like, what are you guys even talking about? And it wasn't a judgment on the way we do things. It was just
the most alien thing to them.
Acknowledgement, yeah, that it was totally different to run your life by a clock. So on a couple of occasions, Carson and I were out walking around, like, in the town, and someone would pull up and say, hey, what are you guys doing? Nothing. Want to come to my house? Sure. So it was just about the hang, and I know how much you love the hang.
Yeah.
It was the pang hang.
That's and, great.
So this guy takes us over to his house. Like, there's a caribou in a plastic crate that he had just bought on Facebook from another community because they're short in that community. And it's just sitting on his kitchen floor, and he just opens it up and reaches in, grabs some fat, pounds it. So I had a bite of that. There's Arctic char on everything. There is such a ferocious pride about the traditional ways. And that's really cool because we hear a lot that, you know, those ways are slipping away or the younger generations don't want to carry on the traditions. But I met a kid who started shooting seals when he was 6. And here's the thing, like they use the skin for mittens and coats and warmth. They use the meat to survive. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't hunt in a wasteful way. It's like survival hunting.
Well, it's part of the cycle of life up there, is what it is.
Totally.
Yeah.
And so the days that we were there, they were all going out in boats. Like, they have these, they're probably 18, 20-foot boats, and they... you mostly have like twin 225 outboards on them, like crazy engines. But as they pointed out, we're going out into the Arctic Ocean and you sure don't want to have engine trouble out there because you'd be done.
Wow.
So they were all going out picking crowberries because they take crowberries and mix it with seal fat. And that's like a delicacy. That's like a treat.
Really?
Yeah. So this woman came to the hotel. She said, I heard you have a couple of daughters. I brought you some traditional games that we used to play when I was a kid. One of them, they're both made out of Arctic hare bones.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is this, like, looks like a leg bone, and then there's a string attaching it to what looks like a hip bone.
Yeah.
Hip bone has a hole in it, and you try to just kind of flick the hip bone onto the end of the leg bone.
Classic.
Like, classic and so innovative and so much ingenuity because they really just... you know, built a life around what they had, almost the same as we did when we were kids going outside and taking shots
or imagine in the woods or whatever. Imagine the records there are that stand in that one game.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? Like the amount of like statistical information of the guy who was like the shit at the bone hammer or whatever it's called.
Yep. Well, the guy that invited us over to his house, he is one of the Rangers, which is a crazy specialized division of the military in the north, and these guys can patrol, like, really, they get a hoodie. Here's what you get, a hoodie that says Ranger on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they patrol the north and do rescue operations, and you know, I met a Ranger a few years ago whose job it was to summon whales to the edge of an ice floe and tag them. Like, man,
summon whales, how do you do that?
I think it's like a whale call, not unlike a duck call.
Or maybe he like goes in the water and like dangles his legs, like
hey, bud. Yeah,
for the
right.
Dolphins.
Hey bud, hey bud. But it is a soulful place with a really big sky and a really friendly group of people. And the kids come over, like, "What's your name? Where are you from?" And maybe the most touching thing was I was there in 2002, and it's a community of 1,400 people. I'm going to say conservatively 100 people said, welcome back to Pang. They remembered that I had been there before and were happy to see me again.
That's awesome.
As you can imagine, I was talking to a couple of teachers, and they said in order to bond with the kids want to know, how long are you here for? Because most people are kind of in and out. They come for a few months or 1 year or whatever, and they're gone.
Yeah.
So, you know, if even at Christmas going home, the kids will say, you coming back? Are you coming back? And they'll kind of believe it when they see it, kind of thing. Very wise people.
Because it's not your typical travel destination, when you go there, is it like things have to be set up for you to, like, be there? Or do you, like, go there and just get a room at a place?
This is the interesting thing. Again, there's one hotel in town. There's a KFC at the Northern store. But if you don't want to eat there every time, your hotel has breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Mm-hmm.
But this Daniel, the yellow Jeep guy, who was our tour guide, said there's little things you don't think about. Like, it's much cheaper to shop at Costco.
Oh, okay.
So he said when I was kind of on my own as an adult for the first time. There's a Costco there.
That's classic.
So you go to Costco, you buy your stuff for the year,
yeah,
and you ship it up by sea lift. And he said, the first time I went to Costco, I spent $10,000. And I'm trying to figure out, like, I don't know, how many rolls of toilet paper do I need for a year?
Jeez.
Just guessing on all that stuff. So dry goods like sugar, flour, ketchup, Christmas presents, bikes, school supplies. Well,
where's the Costco? Like in Iqaluit?
Ottawa.
Oh, wow. So they ship it from there, and then slow boat it on the crates.
They slow boat it on the crates. Yeah, comes up on the barge.
Wow.
So imagine after the winter how excited you'd be to see the nose of that barge pointing its way around.
No kidding.
Yeah. Different way of life, man. But they have it figured out. Like, I think life is pretty good in Pangnirtung. Lots of people have boats, and lots of people have four-wheelers, and there's some nice vehicles around town, and because there's a fish plant there, you know, there are jobs to be had, and there's money to be made, and they have a print shop. They make really nice prints. So I think it was a great introduction to the North for my father-in-law. I think he really enjoyed himself, and I did too.
And just, you said it's a dry community.
It is, yeah. You get the sense that on the low, you could probably scrounge some alcohol up if you knew where to look. But it's generally speaking, it is a dry community.
Yeah, but it's super expensive if you ever could find it, even because it has to be smuggled in, obviously.
Well, yeah, and I don't know what the rules are. I don't know if that... I guess that means you can't technically have it in your home.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of the places I've been before, like even in Texas, I was in a dry town, but they have a club, and if privately. You join the club, you can go there and get banged up.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's the same in communities like this. It's certainly not overt. Mm-hmm. You don't see people getting banged up. There's no lounge, like there's nowhere to go. So you can imagine both for residents and for, say, if you're a teacher going up there for a year or two, you have to kind of create your own social opportunities. And I think if you like the outdoors, you're laughing.
So if you go up there as a traveler, do you, who do you look to or who do you talk to do things there? Like, obviously you want to go on see stuff and check out what's going on around there. Who do you contact?
Well, I met the principal of the high school on the plane up there, who's actually from Sackville, Nova Scotia. And he and his roommate, Kristen, who's also from Nova Scotia and a teacher, invited us for dinner, which was really nice. Several people said, if you want to go out on the land, you have to contact an outfitter named Peter Killebuck, but it turns out he wasn't in town.
Mm-hmm.
If you were going to go for a week or something, you'd probably want to tee up some activities beforehand. Like, you can, different times of year, go out on a dog sled or rent a skidoo or, you know, go fishing. We only had about 36 hours in the town, so we didn't want to plan anything intense. Like, even a trip, the shortest trip to the national park that's there, which is staggeringly beautiful, is about 6 hours. Jeez. So we didn't want to commit to spending most of one of our day and a half doing something big and intense like that. So we just kind of hung out. But the short answer is, if you're not from there, people will approach you, ask where you're from, want to tell you about their life, and want to make sure they show off their town.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're walking down the street and there's like six or seven seal pelts, hides, strung out in front of a house. They do get the odd polar bear around, certainly a Kalaallit. The caribou aren't on Baffin Island so much these days, but so much of their day-to-day life revolves around fishing, hunting, and surviving.
Yeah. And how cold was it up there?
It was about -2, but it sure felt cold. I don't know if it was because it was 28 in Ottawa on the way down, mm-hmm. And really warm on the way up. But it's bone chilling. Like, we stood around and watched the barges unload crates and stuff.
Yeah.
And you start to feel that in your toes after a while.
But have they mentioned that people up there anything about climate change or any things they've noticed?
Yeah. I asked Daniel with the yellow Jeep if what the kind of signs were. And he said, well, winter's not nearly as harsh as it used to be. Mm-hmm. And he also said the biggest evidence to them is they have capelin, these little fish that are now swimming up further north than they ever have because the water's warm enough.
Mm.
And so that's why they have all kinds of belugas in the bay, because the belugas come in chasing the capelin. So he said that's, you know, he works in fish. That's it. I think he has a degree in biology.
And I imagine they have statistical knowledge for, you know, decades there, right?
Oh, yeah. It's incredible. Mm. Yeah.
Cool.
We'll take a break, bot.
Yeah, bot. Right, that's back. Nice.
Ed Robertson sent in an awesome trivia question. And he also teed up the song that we're going to premiere, the new Bare Naked Ladies track, we're going to premiere in the next block. So don't go anywhere, buds.
Fucking right, eh?
It's been a while since I said sorry.
I remember that band, Stained.
Stained.
I played a bunch of shows with those guys.
Stained, so. Like stained or stained? Yeah.
Like Aaron Lewis, Stained.
Is there...
I remember eating cereal and looking out the bus window, and he's outside with his like baby and a baby Bjorn.
Family rocking bus.
Their bus.
And what's he doing? Please tell me he's blowing a dart with his kid and a baby Bjorn.
No, I didn't see him blowing a dart at the time. But yeah, classic, man.
Stained. Oh, yeah, it's Stained, but there's no E.
Yeah, Stained.
They should sue The Weeknd. Yeah, we were the first guys to take out the E, bruh.
We did that. Stained. Those guys are so loaded. I bet you that guy's getting one of those, like, you go to his house, and it's, like, big, huge place, and all, like, ATVs and cars and stuff.
Plants. Everything. Back when MTV Cribs was lit, he was probably on that. I like how he really tries to bring the whole song home with the words, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He backs off the machismo thing. It's been a while since I said sorry. I'm going to try to be very vulnerable on that last word.
Sorry.
Stained. Jeremy.
Yeah?
We're going to play Chickadee China, right?
Yeah, we are, but first...
Heartland Brothers.
Dancing and singing to dawn.
There's Donovan.
Going.
Back to back.
Do the money's all gone.
I'm going to stand behind Soul City as a jam.
Oh, man. They all look like everyone looks like Steve Anthony in this band.
Yeah. And nobody's looking at the camera. Nobody's looking at the camera. Everyone's looking off to the future at a 45-degree angle.
Like they're from Lethbridge, I think, right? Can take the boy out of Berta, but can't take the bird out of the boy. He's got that thing around his neck like one of those little cowboy things you tie up.
Aww.
A rhinestone or something.
Did they have any other hits? I don't think.
I don't think so.
Let it ride, bud. It's good.
Kind of going like a little Glass Tiger, Steve Anthony
Soul
looking
City, that's where we're headed.
dancing and singing till dawn.
My friend Betty Belmore is a makeup artist in the film industry in Halifax now, but by trade she is a singer. And she used to sing with a group of her sisters. She had a lot of sisters. Mm-hmm. And she has all these stories about, you know, singing folk festivals and crossing paths with everybody.
Yeah.
Her theory is that, I asked her why siblings can harmonize so well. Like, is it actually genetic or practice or what do you think it is? And she said, I honestly think it has to do with head shape. Like, the shape of your mouths are the same, so you make the same sounds.
That's the reasoning?
That's her theory, and I don't think it's a bad one.
Yeah, makes sense, right? That's
Soul City! There's my earworm for this week.
So you're saying if you could... I couldn't believe when Donovan threw that out, man. Soul City!
Soul City! He would stand behind that as a jam, though.
I know, but I haven't thought of that song since it came out, man.
I know.
Soul City!
Where, like,
it
okay.
was a big, crazy binge weekend when they did it all gacked up.
Let's play What's He Driving?
Yeah, I love What's He Driving.
What is the guy who, both guys in the Partland Brothers, what are they driving?
I don't know. I hope they probably, I don't, are they still around as a band?
I did.
I'm going to guess they probably moved on to like some real estate and are like rocking.
You think?
Yeah. So they're like driving a Saab and an Audi.
I was going to say one brother drives a Chev Tahoe, but it's an 07.
Okay.
And the other brother drives, it's like a Lexus sedan, but it's like an 05.
All right.
I bet best known for Soul City. The brothers are GP and Chris.
Okay.
As in general practitioner. GP Partland.
Yep.
They had three albums.
Mm-hmm.
Electric Honey. Four. Electric Honey, Between Worlds, Every Now and Again, and This Is Who I Am.
Okay.
How do I know if they're still together? I'm going to go with no.
Maybe like the odd corporate?
Yep.
Right?
Hey, who did we get for the Xerox Christmas party? Don't even worry about it. It's a big surprise. Wait a sec.
Hey, wait. Is that Mr. Perfect from wrestling? No, it's the Partland Brothers, bod.
Wait a sec. They're from Colgan, Ontario.
They are?
Colgan.
I thought they were from Berta, bod.
No, they're from Colgan.
I didn't know that.
And there's a third Partland brother.
No.
Robin Partland is also in the band.
That's great.
They played on the American Bandstand and The Late Show with Arsenio Hall.
Wow.
In 1982, they entered and won the Q107 Homegrown Contest, which caught the eye of Capitol Records. Soul City! Okay, these days,
they
Partlands...
They probably jammed that track at the show, and it was like, okay, now that's a hit!
I'm going to tell you two things about the Partland Brothers that is going to blow your hair back.
Okay, one.
These days, the Partlands, now including Robin Partland on drums...
There you go.
Can be found backing Ronnie Hawkins on
wow.
the road in Canada and the U.S.
They're like the all-time now. That puts them in the status with the band.
There you go.
Backing up the Hawk.
And the second thing is, GP Partland was a police constable with the Metropolitan Toronto Police.
There you go.
From 76 to 79.
3 years in the
That's
service.
That's where he's headed.
So they're still playing.
If you were a Partland brother and you wrote an autobiography, it would have to be called That's Where I'm Headed. Or Dancing and Singing Till Dawn. Man, the Partland brothers have a lot of good autobiography options.
Yeah. How about like Dark Days in Sun City or Soul City?
Soul City. I mean, Soul City's a pretty good name too.
I got it mixed up with Sun City.
Here's another thing.
What?
What's
the thing?
Their album was produced by John Goldsmith, who produces The Cobes.
The Cobes?
Yeah.
Come on.
Anton Figg from Letterman Studio Band played on their record. Man, these guys are legit. Lisa Del Bello, remember that?
Yeah.
She sang on it. And guitarist Bill Dylan, who played with Robbie Robertson and Daniel Lanois.
One of the finest guitar players there are.
Bill Dylan?
Yeah, he's fantastic. He did. He played with Peter Gabriel, too.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good deep dive on the Partland Brothers.
So you ready to play this game, the Chickadee China game?
Well, do you know what I think we should do?
What?
I think that Partland Brothers deep dive dovetails really nicely into Ed's trivia question.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
So why don't we take a second? Here's what we're going to do. Ed sent us a trivia question. So we're going to play the trivia question now. And then I say buds have a couple of days. Let's say by Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, they have to make their guesses as to what the answer is of the trivia question, either on Facebook or Twitter. And Sunday the 24th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we'll cut it off. Whoever gets it right will get a Tiger and Torrance t-shirt. Does that sound good?
Sounds great.
And we'll reveal the answer Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern.
On the Twitter box.
On Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah.
So let's play Ed's unbelievable trivia question right now.
Ed Robertson here from Bare Naked Ladies with a little Canadian music trivia for the Canadianity podcast. Ed Robertson is a massive fan of music and has always been so. The question is this: what Canadian artist did Ed Robertson line up outside of the Danforth Music Hall as a teenager to be a part of the crowd scenes of this Canadian music video? Did I make all that clear? As a teenager, Ed Robertson lined up outside of the Danforth Music Hall to just be seen in the crowd of a rock music video of one of his teenage heroes. Still a hero, in fact. That's my trivia question. And go.
Good question, wasn't it?
It was. I want to know myself.
Well, I know the answer because I listened to it, but I sure didn't know the answer when he asked the question.
Yeah.
But I love the commitment to Canadianity that those guys have, and I love just the thought of teenage Ed standing outside the Danforth Music Hall to be a part of something. Because that couldn't have been too long before they broke, right? They were teenagers, weren't they?
Yeah, no. It was probably in the, I'm guessing, early 80s.
And he is a music fan.
He sure is.
Do you remember the first time you met Tyler?
Probably when, I think when we played the Nathan Phillips Square show, not the one when Sheila Copps got all mad at them.
What happened?
Well, Sheila Copps is like, this name, what is this?
Oh yeah, right.
This is terrible. They can't play here. And that gave them more press than anything. And it was, I think that a year or two after that. And I had a migraine that day playing at Nathan Phillips. So I did sound check, had a migraine, lied down, and then just like made to the show just in time. And they were all pretty sympathetic because they'd heard the situation and, you know, meeting them, they were really nice folks. And like I said, they were sympathetic to my pain.
Awesome.
But yeah, definitely buds. That was probably 1994.
So they were away just a little bit ahead of you guys.
Yeah, probably in terms of like them blowing up 2 years or so at least. Yeah, yeah. For sure.
But they certainly have a good reputation as being nice buds. For sure. Here's a weird little Canadianity trivia moment. We had a band on Jono Vision. We used to do Jono Palooza, which was like a battle of the bands. And one of the bands on Jono Palooza was called Fully Clothed Men. The Fully Clothed Men, who named themselves cheekily after Bare Naked Ladies. So in just a couple minutes, we're going to get Ed to tee up their new track, Canada Dry. Nice of them to think of us as a place to release this song. It's buddism at its finest.
It sure is.
But we're going to take a rip at the Chickadee China raps.
Yeah.
Can you get through it?
I think I could.
Are you going to do it as you first? See if you can get a clean take all the way through, and then I'll do the same.
A clean take.
A clean take.
I'm going to go
Jeremy, we're
first.
Recording. The Chickadee China.
Yeah, that's it. I feel more centered when Donovan's telling me my motivation.
Do you know when you're hungry, and you're so hungry that it's the only thing you can think about? Say you've got a drumstick, and your brain just stops ticking. I want you to encapsulate that spirit, yeah?
Gotcha.
We are recording.
Okay.
2, 3, 4.
Chickadee China, the Chinese chicken. You have a drumstick and your chain stops ticking. Watching X-Files with no lights on. Don LMA's on. Hope the smoking man's in this one. Like Harrison Ford, I'm getting frantic. Sting of tantric. Like Snickers, guaranteed to satisfy.
Killing it.
That's it.
Like Kurosawa, I make mad films. Okay, I don't make films. But if I did, they'd have a set of eyes. Gonna get a set of better clubs. Gonna find the kind of tiny nubs just so my irons aren't flying off the backswing. Gotta get into a Sailor Moon because that cartoon has got the boom anime babes that make me think the wrong thing. You gotta hop on the boom anime babes, though. Because that cartoon has got the boom anime babes. Okay, you ready?
What?
You have to do the boom anime babes. Do you have the lyrics in front of you?
Yeah.
Okay, so you do the, because that cartoon has got the, and I'll do the boom anime babes.
Okay, because that cartoon has got the boom anime babes. Is that it?
Yeah.
Because that cartoon, that's too hard. Because that cartoon has got the boom, I can't do it.
Yeah, we can. One more take.
Because that cartoon has got.
Boom anime babes.
Oh, sorry. Let's try again. Because that cartoon has got the boom anime babes.
That's how Paige hops on it. These days, it probably falls to Kriegsy.
What?
It's probably Kriegsy that hops on the Boom Anime Babes these days.
For sure.
Has been fun.
It was.
Special thanks to the lads and Bare Naked Ladies, seriously, for thinking of us. It's a pretty cool thing that we get to preview this track for the buds, and we saved the best till last. So let's turn over the verbal baton.
Yeah.
To Turbo Bud, Ed Robertson, who's going to tee up the new track, Canada Dry. Thanks for listening, buds. Stay with it till the end, because it gives you all the Canadianity feels. Here's Ed.
Yeah, bud.
Ed Robertson here from Bare Naked Ladies, saying what's up to all the buds out there. I'm a longtime Canadianity listener, first-time caller. New Bare Naked Ladies record, Fake Nudes, is coming out soon. There's a song on that record called Canada Dry, which I hold as a contender for perhaps the most Canadian song ever. The song mentions the Stanley Cup and Sidney Crosby and St. John's and Victoria and Saskatoon and Neil Young and Joni Mitchell and Gord Downie, and features not just me singing, but also Jim Cuddy of the Blue Rodeos and Alan Doyle of Alan Doyle. I'm super proud of this song, and it just occurred to me as a fun thing to do, as a thanks to the many, many hours, weeks, and years of entertainment that Jeremy and Jonathan have provided for me, that I would give this song to all the buds listening out in Canadianity land. Anyway, I hope you enjoy it. This is for you. It's from Fake Nudes. It's called Canada Dry. And enjoy.
Shining like Aurora Borealis, like Sid sipping from the Stanley Chalice, balling in a bus across the USA, dumb enough to think that it would stay that way. Lounging in the living room in Long John's, more distant than Victoria to St. John's, trying to use a record to repair my heart. I'd be lying if I said I didn't want to start again. My friend, you're leaving me high and Canada dry. I'm out of your head and I'm losing my mind. Listening to Neil is making me cry. You're leaving me high. like a Saskatoon sunset, thinking that we had it from the outset. Tommy said that life was a highway, dear, but I became the roadkill when you oversteered. Oh, why? Oh, why? You leave me high in Canada Dry. I'm out of your head and I'm losing my mind. Now listening to Joey's making me cry. You're leaving me high in Canada Dry. While I stayed here, I'll let you know, I'll make it clear how happy I appear. High in Canada Dry, I'm out of your head and I'm losing my mind. Listening to Gordy is making me cry. You're leaving me high.